I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
First year of college, man, you missed out on some of the golden years.
I don't think most of my friends had sex in high school.
Oh, come on.
I don't.
It's ridiculous.
When? How?
What kind of high school? Did you go to that footloose high school where you're not allowed to dance and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. What? How old were you?
15.
Do you think that's the average age?
That's a very good question. What is the average age?
Well, I think it's getting lower.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I agree with that.
He was 15.
But I think
Natalie,
that's an Ohio thing.
No, it's not an Ohio
You guys
thing.
Didn't have anything else to do.
Nothing to do there.
Well, what better is there to do? All right, so Lakers win last night. Another great performance for the bench in particular. Another triple-double for LeBron James. And all of a sudden, that team that lost 7 out of 10 down the stretch in the first half is looking a lot better, Ireland.
Well, you got to consider the opponent. I mean, you don't want to get too caught up here. Minnesota's the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah.
But they have played 2 excellent games in a row. And I think they may win again tomorrow night when Charlotte comes in. Charlotte's a 500 team like Golden State was. And then Atlanta has won 6 games in a row. Ever since fired their coach, everything seems to have turned around for them. And then Sunday's the real test. Second day of a back-to-back at Phoenix.
Right.
That's a real game.
And Phoenix has been great. Montrezl Harrell has been great. 25 last night on 11 of 16. Kuzma, 16 on 7 of 12. THT, 16 points on 6 of 9. And another good three-point shooting night for the Lakers. They shot 50% from 3. And LeBron only had to play 31 minutes last night in getting his triple-double, keeping his minutes down and still finding a way to win. That's a really good sign. And as you mentioned, Charlotte and LaMelo Ball on Thursday. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. What is the deal? We have mocked LeVar Ball.
You have.
I have. You.
I like LeVar. I always have.
You haven't mocked him for being too big, too much.
I want to bring LeVar on the show. You've said no, never again.
That's money.
Yeah, I think and people are, you know, people say every time ESPN puts him on, people go crazy. Say, why are you putting that guy on? I think LeVar has been a huge success in life.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you think he was a success in life? Well, I don't want to say that. Success in life is different. He's raised 3 kids, and he's devoted himself to those
And they've
kids,
all become
that,
professional
that
athletes.
Is a success.
Yeah.
But, I mean, LaMelo Ball sort of pays the whole thing off. He basically has been Richard Williams. He's basically been Earl Woods. He's basically been that dad, that guiding force behind their kids who have led them to stardom. So, yeah, don't you think that people clown LeVar all the time?
Sure. But I mean, he's good content. You never know what he's going to say. He's probably going to say something that's going to get him in trouble, which is good for us. So, all I care about is ratings.
Am I against having LeVar Ball on?
The reason we have it on is you said never again. That guy's a clown. And I said, that's exactly why we want him on.
We never did have him on, did we?
I had him on once when you weren't there, for sure.
Well, why do you have guests on that I can't talk to?
You take 10 weeks off a year. What else do you want us to do?
I know, but LeVar Ball was a big one. It's 7 weeks off. And LeVar Ball is a big one.
Right.
Hey, Lindsay, have we ever had LeVar Ball on?
As I do recall, it was probably about a year ago. I wanted to have him on because he did something or said something or some new shoe came out, and you refused to have him on.
Yeah,
and even Ramona even wanted to have him on, and you still said
Mason,
no.
The entire LeVar Ball ban is all because of you.
Really? Oh, I'd say have him on.
Okay, good. Yeah,
go,
I think
go
I know LeVar's harder to get now. Have you noticed that? Because
yeah,
LaMelo
is
killing it. He's letting, which is an interesting, I've always thought LeVar was crazy like a fox. I thought LeVar, you know, people think LeVar is an idiot or he doesn't know what he's doing. Now that LaMelo's killing it, he's nowhere to be found. He's not taking any of his shine.
Well, because LaMelo's doing the talking for himself.
Correct.
He's 16-6-6 right now and has racked up a number of triple-doubles. Finally into the starting lineup. It took him a long time. He's only started 18 games now.
By the way, they've only been off the bench. Well, I'll put it this way. There have been tons of brothers who have played in the NBA, a lot of them. LaMelo and Lonzo are the only brothers ever both to be taken in the top three of the draft.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lonzo went 2 to the Lakers. LaMelo went 3 to the Hornets.
Now, is it fair to say Lonzo's a bust?
Not yet.
Lonzo's not going to be an all-star. He'll be a rotation player. He's never going to be an all-star.
That's a great question. See, I think, you know, I actually think that had the Lakers been able to hold on to Lonzo, that he would have fit really well with this team. But I think New Orleans insisted he be in the AD deal.
This year, he's, first of all, he's 23, fourth year in the league. He's 14-4-5.
Right. Now, and so people knock Lonzo. They say, you know, he can't shoot. But on our team, he wouldn't necessarily need to do that. If you play fast, Lonzo's perfect because he's an excellent passer. He can finish at the rim. He's not an excellent three-point shooter, but, you know, that shouldn't stop him from figuring into games. I actually think, I don't know if he'll stay in New Orleans, but I actually think he could have a decent career. The question you asked is interesting. Will he ever be an all-star?
And we have to think.
Probably not. There's so many good guards in the league.
Yeah, we like to have this, will he be an all-star conversation? Like yesterday we were having it with LaMelo Ball and James Wiseman. I don't think Wiseman will be an all-star, but I do think LaMelo is going to be an all-star.
Boy,
and
the
I
kid
think it's
last night, Anthony
sooner
Edwards
rather
is
going to
be for sure.
Anthony Edwards looks fantastic.
Yeah, he's that guy's coming.
He is a monster, yeah. I feel better now about this team than I did before, and I know they're making hay against inferior competition, a Golden State team that didn't have a lot of fight in it, and last night Minnesota, but it's a much better feeling than losing 7 out of 10 down the stretch at the end of the first half. So originally I had said, and we had this conversation at one point. Well, I mean, what do you think they are without Anthony Davis? You made it sound like they're kind of a 500 basketball team. They're an above 500 basketball team.
I think their record without AD is 500.
Is 500, yeah.
It might be a couple games over. But
do you think they're a 500 basketball team with Anthony Davis?
Well, I think LeBron has put this team on his back over the since the beginning of the after the start of the All-Star break, and that's why they're 3-0. But I think the main reason they're 3-0 schedule.
Okay.
Indiana, who was missing some people, they got Caris LeVert back now, but Indiana almost beat the Lakers, and then LeBron just said, we're not losing to the Warriors, and, you know, we're absolutely not losing last night. So, against Minnesota. So I think LeBron is carrying the team. Now, what do you think happens Sunday? Lakers at Phoenix.
I think that's probably a loss.
I'm very interested. I think they can win it. I think that now they realize they had a chance before. Remember when Devin Booker got ejected and they lost?
Yeah.
They lost to the Suns anyway. I think they're going to remember that. This team seems to have a memory that kind of sticks with them.
Phoenix is really good. If somebody said yesterday, they're really sore losers.
Like the Lakers?
Phoenix gets very pissed off at themselves when they lose a game. They've got some fight in them, and they've done a really, really good job.
Yeah, they're not the only ones.
All right, so this is a good time to bring this up. I wanted to ask you this question. Give me your prediction on the order of the top four teams in the West at the end of the season. So
okay.
pull up your schedule. Because to me, it's gonna make a difference for seeding, right?
Yes.
Anthony Davis, we think, is gone potentially 3 weeks or so, longer. The Clippers are sitting at the 4 right now. Phoenix is the 2, and the Jazz are the 1. Do you think the Jazz hang on to the 1?
I did before the All-Star break, but after the All-Star break, they've been very average. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games.
Yeah. But who catches them?
Phoenix? Yeah.
You think Phoenix could be the 1 seed in the West?
I'm going to pick
a huge turnaround that would be.
I'm going to pick the Lakers just because if they get AD back, I think they're just almost impossible to beat. So I'm going to say Lakers 1, Utah 2, Phoenix 3, Clippers 4.
Interesting. So I am going with the exact order they are right now. Jazz, Suns, Lakers. And that's the big question mark, obviously. If Anthony Davis is back sooner, that Chris Haynes report is the one that's the one that bothers me. The 3 weeks and maybe longer is what he said.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me because I don't think it matters where they're seated.
Yeah, but you just said they're going to be the number one seed. I don't think it matters if they're not.
Right.
I think,
matter of fact, if they sunk to five, I think the number one seed would be really worried.
Because they would
have to play them in the second round.
Yeah, but what if the Clippers are four and you draw them in the first round?
Lakers win.
Yeah, but see what I'm saying? The seeding matters in the respect that I don't think you want to get below the four.
The team I can't figure out is Denver. Denver, I thought, would be really good this year.
Yeah.
And they got off to a terrible start. Now they're starting to figure some things out, and they have Jokic, but I don't know.
Porter Jr.'s getting better.
They could sneak into my top four.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting. I don't think you want to be in the bottom half of the seedings. I don't think they will, but you don't want to be at the. But you don't want to be the six and playing the three. You don't want to be the seven and playing the two.
If you're the seven or the eight, that means you have to play in the play-in tournament.
Oh, that's right. The seven has to play in the play-in, right? It's seven,
so eight,
nine, ten.
Yeah.
Oh wow, yeah.
So you don't want that. You get a week off if you don't have to play in the play-in tournament.
Yeah. You know, somebody, I was talking to somebody last night or texting with somebody last night, and they were looking at this game last night and said, why would the Lakers do anything at the trade deadline or the buyout market? It looks like they're developing real chemistry. Why would you think about, displacing Montrezl Harrell or Kyle Kuzma from the roles they're in right now? And, you know, just looking at the team in the last couple of nights, I'm like, well, you know, They do have chemistry. They are coming together on the floor in a meaningful way now. And maybe you don't make a big move at the trade deadline or in the buyout market.
Well, here's why I kind of agree with whoever that was you were texting with. Who do you want to give up? The two names that everybody would ask for if they call Rob Pelinka,
right,
would be Talen Horton-Tucker and Montrezl Harrell.
Correct.
I'm not sure I'm interested in cutting either one of those guys loose.
Yeah.
I just don't. I think that now, last year, Rob enhanced the team with the buyout market.
You know,
that's where he went out and got Markieff Morris. He also took a flyer on Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith. They didn't figure, you know, hugely, but he tried it. I think that could happen again. Mace, the Lakers could have, depending on what they do with Damian Jones. By the way, do you want him to keep Damian Jones?
Yeah, I like what I'm seeing.
So do I, but they've got
to... I don't think he's the ultimate answer to anything, but
I think he might be good for a backup for AD or Gasol.
Yeah. I mean, he jumps out of the gym and he makes some interesting play. Doesn't play in control all the time, but I like what I'm seeing.
Okay, so if they keep him, they have two roster spots. If they don't keep him, I mean, now I'm saying this assuming Jared Dudley is going to pretty soon go on the injury list because he tore his MCL. So I think if Damian Jones, if they elect not to sign him after his second 10-day, he's in his second 10-day now, they could have up to three. So that's a lot of maneuverability if you're Rob Pelinka. You get to go out and kind of test drive everybody that's out there.
Yeah, and I mean, the buyout market, what's interesting about the buyout market this year is you look at the guys that potentially could be bought out, and Andre Drummond is one, and Hassan Whiteside is one, and P.J. Tucker is one. Those are kind of the three guys that have, at least publicly by the blue checkmark NBA media, have been linked to the Lakers. They're probably going to be competing for those guys, if they are in fact bought out, with Brooklyn. A guy like Andre Drummond on the buyout market – probably, and I forget who I read this, but it was a blue checkmark NBA media guy. He said it's probably a choice between Brooklyn and the Lakers. And that's a pivotal piece. That's a very pivotal piece.
But there are, like, for example, I liked what Miami did today. They picked up Trevor Ariza in exchange for Myers Leonard, who I think Myers Leonard was going to be done anyway.
Yeah.
You know, because he put his foot in his mouth, and I think he needs a change of scenery. So they traded him to the middle of the country. where, you know, he's basically going to go into obscurity, playing on a team in Oklahoma that, you know, probably isn't going anywhere for a couple of years.
Right, right.
But so, I mean, there's moves like that that could be out there too.
Yeah, sure, sure. It's just that the Lakers, because they don't have a first-round draft pick till 2027, because they don't have a second-round draft pick till 2023, you really, the only things you've got available on the trade market are conceivably Montrezl Harrell, Wes Matthews, THT, Alex Caruso. Those are the guys that you could sort of move.
Yeah, and I like all those guys.
Yeah, and I do too. And I do too. That's why, I mean, you can make your case, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN, that the Lakers should stand pat. Is that how you're feeling about this team? Also, we got a ton of stuff coming up, including our buddy Matt Viskurgin is coming on the show
a little bit
later on this hour, 1:30. Boy, he is becoming the Angels TV play-by-play guy.
Yeah,
he is a state-of-the-art broadcaster.
Yeah, and it's just such a good move by the Angels, who have always gone like super conservative, no name with their broadcasters, and this is exactly the opposite. And they're going to put him with Mark Gubazaw, who's one of the great guys of all time. And now they have announcers that I will turn on the game and watch, even if the game isn't close.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I will watch Matt.
Compliment to an announcer.
I will watch Matt. And by the way, he will continue to do Sunday Night Baseball for ESPN. So he's continuing in that role. He's just also going to be doing Angels TV play-by-play the rest of the week. All right, coming up next for you. What does it mean that LeBron has bought a chunk of the Boston Red Sox? We'll get into that coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 AM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And, you know, I have no idea how Lindsay does everything that she does. Like, she listens to a lot of podcasts. She watches every single documentary that there is on Netflix and all other platforms. Mm-hmm. Is that pretty much all you do is consume content, Lindsay?
Well, I will say I don't really watch any other TV besides documentaries. That's, like, always my first choice. And
I just had this conversation with somebody. I'm not watching any TV shows right now. Like,
yeah,
any network TV shows, like comedies or dramas or anything.
Well, I don't even
network
have cable.
Network or any?
Any. I mean, I binged Schitt's Creek over the, like, 3 months ago.
Here's one that I'm watching that we really like. It's called Kim's Convenience. It's about a Korean family, immigrant family that owns a convenience store in Toronto. It is very, very fun.
Yeah, they just canceled it.
Yeah, I saw. They're going to have one more year and then it's over.
Yeah.
But it's really, really good. It's funny. But you're right. I don't have any. If you've got a suggestion on something to binge, 877-710-ESPN. You can always reach out to the show or at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A Ireland. Let's go to Adam in Studio City. Adam, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
good. What's up?
So I just wanted to – I know this is kind of leading the show. You guys were talking about the balls. I just think it's a little bit of hyperbole to say that Lonzo's a bust.
He's still
figuring it out. And I think had he gone – or had he stayed with the Lakers, he probably wouldn't have gotten the opportunities. And J.J. Redick and all these guys talk about their – John, maybe you can remind me the name of their coach.
It's Stan Van Gundy.
Isn't it? Stan Van Gundy, yeah.
Who is struggling down there, but
nope.
Coaches
There's
love.
There's a specific shooting coach there that the team loves and has improved. Ingram's shot, his shot. He's working with Zion. I think his name's Fred something.
Okay.
That everybody raves about. And you've seen the improvements in Lonzo's shot. And hopefully, I think in the next 2 years, like, he might not be an all-star, but he's definitely like a legitimate starting player. So just wanted to not call you out, Mace, but don't think he's quite yet a bust, and he's finally got the opportunity to improve the shot because everything else is there. Like,
but you, I remember but you, agree, you guys. Not actually, a, you agree, not likely an all-star.
It's just so loaded. The West is,
that is
so loaded.
Exactly. Exactly.
One last thing, though.
Yeah.
One last thing.
Yeah.
I think you guys had on the day of the draft, you guys had De'Aaron Fox on, and I was fully on board with picking Lonzo. And then I listened to De'Aaron Fox talk to you guys, and I was like, God, I love that guy. And well, he's kind of just turned out to be that.
He's been
still
great.
And continues to impress me.
And by the way, guys, people don't remember this, but De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo are the same age.
Yeah, same class.
And they met in the tournament when Fox was at Kentucky and Lonzo was at UCLA. Remember, Lonzo at UCLA was spectacular. He was first-team All-American. He was a Pac-12 player of the year. Lonzo, you know, was one of the best players in the country when he did it. But De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo met in the tournament. I want to say it was a Sweet 16 game, and De'Aaron Fox destroyed him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was he had 30.
Oh, yeah, I remember this, yeah.
He had 39 points, which was a freshman record for the tournament. And I think Lonzo had 6. And so then you knew everybody. But Magic really wanted Lonzo. So Lonzo in that draft, that was the 2017 draft. Lonzo went 2nd and De'Aaron Fox went 5th. If you went back and redid that draft, I think it would reverse.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, man. Appreciate you calling me out.
Thank you. No problem.
All right, man.
Thank you, guys.
Good. Yeah, no, I like being called out. I think that makes for interesting radio. All right.
If De'Aaron Fox, by the way, Mace, played anywhere but Sacramento, he'd be a bigger star.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's scoring 25 points a game now.
Yeah, he's great.
All right. So yesterday it was announced that LeBron James is buying a portion of the Boston Red Sox.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Okay. Tell me.
Sliwa and Michael last night.
Yes.
We're doing the pregame show, and they're killing LeBron. They're saying, it was LeBron and Maverick Carter had purchased a piece of the Red Sox. And they were saying, LeBron is a Yankees fan. You can't do that. You can't buy a piece of the Red Sox if you're a Yankee fan. And I thought to myself, that makes no sense. It's a business deal. Mace, LeBron already owns part of Liverpool, the soccer team. And that same ownership group, a lot of those guys he's in Liverpool with, offered him a chance to buy into the Red Sox. And he said after the Laker game last night, the deal makes he and Maverick the first black baseball owners in all of Major League Baseball. So that's kind of cool, too. Stuff like this happens all the time. Shaq owns a part of the Sacramento Kings. Remember, he used to call them the Sacramento Queens.
Yes.
Jeannie Buss owns part of Sincoro Tequila, and one of her partners is the Celtics owner, Wick Grosbeck.
Right.
Like if you offered me a chance to be part owner of the Petros and Money show, I would do it. Or the Jim Rome show. I mean, even though I compete with those guys, it was a business opportunity.
Yeah,
wouldn't you?
I mean, in this case, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I think it's interesting. He's bought into this Fenway Sports Group. And they own stuff like Nessun. They own stuff like you mentioned, FC Liverpool in the Premier League. They own a bunch of different properties.
Right.
And it could very well be that this is the vehicle, Fenway Sports Group, the vehicle by which they buy an NBA franchise. And then LeBron is the owner of an NBA franchise on top of the Boston Red Sox. That's what I think the bigger play is here. This group that he's bought into has the means and the ability and the savvy to be able to purchase an NBA franchise, which LeBron can potentially run. And I think at the end of the day, that's what LeBron wants. I think LeBron wants an NBA franchise, and I hope that he gets it. I actually have no doubt that he's going to. Actually, here is LeBron James. Jorge, follow me. Here's LeBron James last night. We'll go with the long version on buying the Boston Red Sox.
Well, first of all, it's great to be with such a great group with FSG. They've done so many great things over the years, and just that collective group of people. They're just amazing to be partners with. As far as the Red Sox, obviously a historical franchise, and we know the history of the World Series championships they've, brought back home to Boston, and the players that's come through there and the legacy that they hold in that area. So I think for me and for my partner, Maverick, to be the first two, black men to be, a part of that ownership group in the history of that franchise. I think it's pretty damn cool. You know, it gives us, it gives me and people that look like me, you know, hope and inspiration that they can be in a position like that as well, that it can be done. It gives my kids at my I Promise School more and more inspiration as well. But it's a great day for myself, for my family, for my school, for my business partner Maverick Carter, and everyone that has something to do with our group. You know, but it's a pretty amazing thing, and for me to continue to build my portfolio off the floor, also in a beautiful game like baseball. So, you know, thanks for the question, Gary.
I love that it's that a black guy owns part of the Boston Red Sox, given the history of that city.
Well, and I'll tell you this. I mentioned yesterday that Larry Lucchino, for a long time, I don't know if Larry's still involved with FSG.
Yeah, he is. He runs Fenway Sports Group.
Well, I know that over the years, this is Tom Werner, the guy who produced, you know, television shows. He did
Roseanne
and the Cosby Show before that. He did a lot of and he also owned the Padres when you and I were on the air down in San Diego.
And was a terrible owner, by the way, with the Padres.
Yeah, and at the Gang of 15, they fire sailed the whole group.
Yep.
And then he got involved with John Henry, and when John Henry and he went and bought the Red Sox, then they took off. And then Tom was able to do it, you know, without 14 partners that he didn't like. But Lucchino has taught me as much about ownership and sports as anybody that you and I have ever had a relationship with.
Talk about a guy that gets it. He always has gotten it.
Yeah, he's one of the smartest. And you know, he hired a guy named Sam Kennedy to run the Red Sox. Sam's still there, who was with us in San Diego. And remember, he had Charles Steinberg, who we said, what is Steinberg's job? He said, he's vice president of putting butts in seats.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, yeah. So if LeBron's involved with these guys, he's like he mentioned.
I can't believe Spock and the Jock were killing LeBron last night about
this.
Yeah,
they said, well, he can't buy him. He's a Yankee fan. I could never do that. That'd be like me buying into the Celtics. If they tell you you can buy into the Celtics, buy into the Celtics.
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. Let's circle back to that because I think that's fascinating. Coming up next for you, Matt Viskergin, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, and the brand new Angels TV play-by-play guy will join us next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, what is going on? It is a big Wednesday. It's nice outside. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. We really do appreciate it. It is exactly 15 days until, I don't know the Angels open. I know the Dodgers open on April the 1st. I'm not sure of the exact opener of the Angels.
I know someone who may know.
We know. We have a friend who probably has a pretty good idea. Do we have Matt?
Yeah.
No, hey, Matt, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Nice to talk to you.
Great talking to you, Matt. This is Matt Viskergin, who we've known for a long time and was recently named the new TV play-by-play guy for the Angels. Matt, I said it, I just love this hire. I can't believe they were able to get you. I don't know how well you know Mark Gubazaw. He's one of the great guys of all time. You guys together, and this is the biggest compliment I can pay to an announcing team, I'm going to watch games just because you're doing them. I don't even care if the games are close. And for people who have never heard Matt do a game, that's the type of announcer he is. He talks about stuff all around baseball. Matt, I can't imagine very many people haven't heard you do games now that you're doing Sunday Night Baseball. But tell me why this particular job worked. I know other teams have come after you. Why was this a good fit, and why did you take it?
First of all, very kind words, John. Thank you. Yeah, you know what? Gooby was part of the sell, actually.
I bet.
I mean, we all know that you guys can speak to this as hosts. John, you could speak to this in your Lakers capacity. If you're not working with somebody that you like, it can be a pretty long year. And I've been really lucky in that regard. Guys that I've worked with in the past, I all consider friends. And guys I work with now, the same. And Gooby is right there as not only is he just one of the most amenable fellows in the game, he really is locked on to the product, to the Angels. And for me, the challenge is, and I, you know, I'm one of the new play-by-play guys. Darren Sutton is going to be handling probably just as many, if not more, games than I am because of schedule challenges for me. But I'm going to lean on Gooby for the insights. I mean, I am really going to play the role of kind of curious spectator initially in trying to get my hands around the product. Joe Maddon's part of the sell because I've always appreciated his sensibilities and his style because he is not cut from the, you know, back of the baseball card, old school baseball guy that, you know, hunts and fishes in the off season and chews a ton of tobacco all day, right? That's not Joe. Not that there's anything wrong with that guy because they have made the game great, but Joe is different, and I've
He's
always
kind of
appreciated
a renaissance.
That about him.
Kind of a renaissance man.
Totally. I mean, Steve, he's your speed because there's many layers to him, and he has interests beyond 60 feet 6 inches. So that's part of the sell. Part of the sell, Southern California, not going to lie. I mean, it's a familiar part of the world that
You know what, Matt? I was going to ask you about that. For people who don't know, Matt went to USC. He's been a Southern California resident before for a long time. And I didn't know, did you, when you went to work for MLB and then in turn ESPN, did you pretty much pack up and move back east, or have you always kept a place out here?
No, that was it. It was a wrap. I mean, I picked up roots, lived in New York City for 5 or so years, and then predictably, as many of us do, you get married, you have a family, and then you succumb to Jersey and or Connecticut suburbs. And that's what happened to me. And right now I'm outside my car, which is parked in the driveway where nothing is alive because it's freezing out. It's 39 degrees, yes. And you just start thinking about the other half and what you left. So, yeah, Southern California, huge appeal. The Angels as a product, huge appeal, because I do think that they are the most kind of underreported improved team in the American League. You hear about, you know, the White Sox getting better, and that's not a secret to anybody. But there's not as much national conversation around the Angels, which I like because they're going to surprise people. They went out and did their business early in the offseason. I think they're going to be good. And if you want to talk about Houston and Oakland being like the win and place horses in the AL West, fine. I think that division is ripe for a takeover, and I think the Angels are the team most equipped to handle that. So there's a variety of reasons. Not to mention, had it not been for COVID, none of this would have been possible because, the new workflow calling games is most of us are in studios.
Right.
And the Angels and the Fox West people, soon to become Bally's, aggressively kind of pursued other ways to do games. And when it became clear we were going to do them from the studio, they opened up their search to people that were not in the 714 area code per se. And when that became a reality for me, I was interested and all in.
New Angels play-by-play guy Matt Viskurgin is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. You mentioned the Angels you think are a sleeper this year. I just look at the pitching rotation.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Matt, and you know, I like Dylan Bundy. Otani's going to throw. They signed Quintana. Do you think they have enough pitching to compete in the West?
Yes, and at risk of sounding like a homer, I would go a little farther than that, Steve, and I'd say whatever they get from Ohtani on the mound is a bonus. I might be the only guy that considers that the case because everybody's fascinated, and for good reason, by his dual score, you know, both side of the scorecard abilities.
Right.
He has been, his bat is alive at Tempe Diablo Stadium right now. I had the two-homer game the other day, homered again yesterday. You know, they're not built perfectly in terms of the DH because you'd like to DH Ohtani. Pujols has to get some at-bats. There are other players you'd like to DH, Justin Upton among them. But if Ohtani hits, and whatever they get from a pitching standpoint is fine. And if either Alex Cobb or Jose Quintana work out, the two additions to the rotation, I think they're going to be good because Griffin Canning, I believe, is ready to take the next step and be a frontline starter in the division. You know what you got with Bundy. and Heaney's a known commodity as well. So I know that nationally everybody bemoans the lack of pitching depth with the Angels, but maybe I'm seeing what others don't. I think they're going to be okay from that standpoint.
Matt Vasgersian is joining us. Matt's going to take over as one of the TV play-by-play guys for the Angels. You're still going to continue to do Sunday Night Baseball, which is good news for us who work at ESPN. Now, are you going to do those with Alex, with A-Rod? Or I know that they a couple years ago they juggled the lineup and made it just the two of you. Is that the plan as far as you know this year for Sunday Night Baseball?
Yes, that is the plan. You know, it's so at this point, there's no plans of replacing Alex with Lenny Kravitz on Sunday Night Baseball.
Good.
So I think, yeah, he's back. And, you know, look, Alex, he knows he's polarizing and he knows his place in the landscape, not only of business, but entertainment and baseball. He still loves the game, man. And nobody can challenge him on that front. And he's been fun to work with. We're going to be in a studio in Bristol. We're not sure when the climate is going to afford us a seat back at the ballpark, but maybe by the summer. I know they have a July 4th Mets-Yankees game that people would love to be in person for. Maybe that's something they can earmark. But look, the preponderance of Red Sox-Yankees games that appear on Sunday Night Baseball is changing this year because the Dodgers and Padres have become – that's become the best rivalry in baseball now, not Cubs-Cardinals, not – Red Sox, Yankees. So we're actually going to be in the West a little bit and hopefully in person.
Well, listen, Matt, we appreciate you coming on. Looking forward to hearing you this year doing the games with Mark Gubiza. Congratulations on the new gig. We're big fans. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Guys are kind. Anytime. Love talking.
Thanks, Matt. Cool. Travel safe, man. See ya.
See you guys.
Matt Vasgersian there. He is really one of... Remember when we originally met him, he was doing a game in Milwaukee.
No, he was the Brewers. That was his first job. He was the Brewers TV play-by-play guy. Then the Padres hired him.
And didn't he start, like, doing a lot of movie quotes when
Still
he was
does.
The Brewers play-by-play guy? Yeah.
That's the best thing about him. He doesn't take himself seriously. He's incredibly candid. One of my favorite things I ever heard him do, we could probably pull it up on YouTube, was some guy was selling something, a vendor was selling something right below him, like hot dogs, you gotta have a hot dog, and nobody's buying, and this guy would not shut up. And there was no people there. And Matt, in the booth, yells down, he goes, man, that's a tired act. You need to soft
that's
sell.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, no, he's going to be great. He'll be great. All right, coming up next for you. John, this talk show host did something embarrassing that will make me a fan forever.
It's a different talk show host. It's not you that did something embarrassing.
It's not me. Although, we'll give you something embarrassing that I did, too.
Okay.
That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And don't forget, if you've not been listening to the show, if you've been away, if you're just back into town, I don't know what's wrong with you, why you're not listening to the show, but every single day, 1:55 sharp is Fast Track. It is back. It is better than ever. It is sweeping Los Angeles, so make sure you're here in 15 minutes for Fast Track, which is where John and I rapid-fire some questions at each other. All right, so there you go.
Yeah, Bobcat.
Bobcat, as Greg Bergman's mom would say. All right, so... John, this is interesting. So I like people who are willing to go on the air and just be themselves. I think you are really good at that. I try to do that every day. I try to just lay it all out there and whatever it is, be authentic and be real. So there's nobody that more fits that bill, I think, than Wendy Williams.
Who does she still have a show?
She still does. She still has a show. Still does really well. It's been on for 9 or 10 years now, and she had a moment the other day that just endears her to me forever. Jorge, do you have that?
It's a matter of time. She's not lonely.
Yep.
I apologize.
Yep.
Well, you did that on our show once.
You did that on our show once.
You have
I've never done that.
You have no proof of that.
We do. There's absolute proof.
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to point out that that's the rare daily double. She both, and she acknowledges this later, farted and burped at the same time.
Oh, I didn't hear the second part until you pointed that out.
Listen real close.
Yeah, totally did. Good for her.
Good for her. Just lay it out there, Wendy. That's why the people love you. All right. So this is by popular demand. John, earlier, the day after the Grammys, which were on Sunday night, I watched the fantastic performance from Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion.
Okay.
And I tried to capture the magic of that moment.
I think we need to cut out Mason saying, bring a bucket and a mop.
That's my favorite line, man.
Bucket and a mop.
I don't think, you know, you and I both have been, you know, called extremely white before. It was only Dave Shore for years that kept us from being the two whitest. That's the whitest I've ever heard you say.
Oh, no, that's as white as I get right there. That is as white as I get.
Oh, man.
Bring a bucket and a mop.
On credential voice. Do it on credential voice.
Bring a bucket and a mop, please.
Yeah.
For that blank, blank, blank.
Yeah.
Do you have a credential for that blank, blank, blank?
Do you have a credential that covers that blank, blank, blank?
If Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion showed up, I would at Staples Center and said, let me in, I would say, do you have a credential?
You know, I wanted to mention this. This is just kind of interesting to me. Do you realize, okay, so you did not watch the Grammys on Sunday.
Not even 1 minute.
Okay. Jorge, did you watch any of it?
Not 1 minute.
Lindsay?
I didn't watch it live, but I went back and watched a lot of clips because everyone was talking about it.
Actually, it was totally worth watching. It was totally worth watching. There was there's some really good music on there. Some music that I hadn't heard. And you know, you had all the regulars, you had Harry Styles and Taylor Swift and all those guys. This is what's interesting to me. Now, we say the ratings go down on everything every year, right, John? That's
right.
Just a common...
Well, especially in the pandemic, almost everything's been down.
Okay. The ratings for the Grammys were down 60% from last year. 60% from last year. Now, are people just done with award shows?
Well, I think people are done... There's one thing that I think the pandemic's done more than anything else, and that's changed the general mood of the country.
Yes.
I don't think people are necessarily in a celebratory mood. Does that make sense?
I totally do. I totally get this.
And because of that, I think the idea of fancy rich people dressed up handing out trophies when people are struggling to, you know, live check to check and a lot of people are out of work is kind of a turnoff. And it's nobody's fault. I'm glad they did the Grammys. I want life to get back to normal.
Yep.
But it's one of the reasons why a lot of these sports teams are putting off any type of a celebration, even when they win a title. I know Tampa Bay was the exception, and they did that boat parade. But the Dodgers and the Lakers both elected not to do a celebration, even one on TV, because I think part of it is they know people are hurting.
Yeah, well, people can't participate, one, and people are hurting. It's not, people are not in a self-congratulatory mood, and I think that's basically what award shows are.
Matter of fact, Mace, to take it a step further, I've told you, you know, on the air and off, how surreal doing the games at Staples Center are for Michael and me. And it's just, I don't know how to explain it other than it feels like we're doing games in a hospital. Until we get the fans back.
Yeah.
It will never be right. And one thing I'm really glad the Lakers did is if you look up on the wall where the banners are.
Right.
They have the 2020 banner up there, but it's covered. And it says, Lakers family, stay tuned. They won't even release it for the, I don't know, there's maybe 50 people in there, maybe 100.
Would they release it for, let's say we get to, I mean, there's indoor dining now and there's talk that this could change. Do they do it for a lesser crowd, for a smaller crowd, or do they wait till everybody can get in there?
Do you know when that is? when everybody can get in there? I think there's got to be some fans is what I think. I don't know. I'm putting words in. I'm not in those meetings. But I know they're not going to drop that banner until there are some fans in the building. Ideally, there would be packed like the crowds we're used to. But
that could be a while.
Yeah. The other day I sent somebody, I don't know if you read that article. It was really cool about the Kobe workout on ESPN.
No.
So somebody.
Actually, why don't you hold that? Because I want to make sure we get a full fast track in.
Okay.
Fast track is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Bring a bucket and a mop.